I tell you the story of Bored Apes, for example. So the two co-founders of the project, they were writers. They weren't like digital artists. So they thought about, okay, if we wanted to have a digital art, but we're not really digital artists, what if we just created a collective art where people would just draw the art themselves? But then they thought, if they do that, everyone's going to draw penises. And then they thought, okay, where would people draw penises? And that would be like a bathroom stall. And then it would be a bathroom stall in a dive bar. And then, oh, maybe it could be a yacht, or maybe it could be a yacht club in a swamp, and just bunch of rich bored apes just sitting around, just being bored and just enjoying their time in a yacht club. And so that's how they painted the scene for people to be like, hey, this is about, right?
Hello and welcome to yet another amazing episode of the MetaRoy podcast, where every week we give you the simplified version of the hottest topics and the developments in the Web3 space. It's 2022, and by now you would have already known about NFT projects and how they offer a way for you as a creator or your brand to express yourself or promote your products and services, or even rally people around social causes that matter to you. But creating an NFT project without marketing it is like creating the biggest pizza in the world but eating it yourself. Now, marketing NFT projects is a different ballgame altogether. So in this episode, we are going to be talking about how to market NFT projects. And joining me on this podcast today is the world's foremost NFT marketing expert, Arvind Kamzee, with more than 400 plus NFT brands and several multi-million dollar sellouts under his belt. Arvind is going to share some actionable strategies around NFT marketing. So use the timestamps to listen to the part which interests you the most, and do listen till the end, where he shares some amazing stories around how brands have created successful narratives around their NFT projects. And make sure to subscribe to this podcast on YouTube or the podcast platform on which you're listening it on, and leave us a review if you like this show. Without any further ado, let's get started. Arvind, thank you so much for joining me on the MetaRoy podcast. It is just a great pleasure to have you here today. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you for having me.
So Arvind, let's start with your background. What has been your background so far, and how did you come to be in the Web3 space?
Cool. Yeah. So I started in marketing back in about 10 years ago, and I started with blogging and affiliate marketing. And I was actually in the health space. And then moved into like all the other spaces. And then eventually started working with public companies with their investor relationship marketing. And I was running at the, like I said, the peak of my career. I was running 500K a month advertising spending. And it was to find short-term and long-term investors online. And then, so I learned about crypto back in 2016 from a good friend of mine, Nick. And in 2021, I was doing pretty well with the public companies. And then, so I had a lot of knowledge in like finding investors online. And then there was an artist from Italy. So I'm actually Persian Italian myself. And then this guy from Italy, he's like a one-of-one artist. He approached me and said, hey, you do all these paid ads. Can you do paid ads for selling his NFT? And at the time, I just kind of knew about NFTs. So I knew it was like cool. And maybe even like I looked over like a bunch of projects, but not very involved in it at that time. And then, so I sold out his project using paid ads, Twitter ads. And this was in a week. And then, so then I got excited. I thought, okay, this is really cool because no one else is doing paid ads in the Web3 space. There's not many people do it. Just there's a stigma around it. We can talk about that. But so anyways, sold out. And then I thought, okay, this is kind of cool. I'm obviously bringing something from Web2 space that's you know, in a unique way into the Web3 space. And then, so I thought, okay, I'll put a gig up on a bunch of freelance platforms, you know, the common popular freelance platforms. And then that month alone, I got about 100 projects, became consulting clients. A month after that, another 100 projects. And then just went on. And I obviously slowed down after a while because at first I was taking out whatever, but then I just, you know, started being more selective. So far I worked with 400 plus NFT projects, and the smallest, I would say, sales been somewhere around 400K. Largest is more like $7-8 million.
That's so awesome. So you mentioned that you've worked both in the Web2 space and the Web3 space, right? What are the differences that you find personally? And how is it different from what you have seen in the Web2 space?
Yeah, just for the audience to kind of get a sense of what we're talking about. So from 1994 to 2004, that's Web1. And that's essentially just read-only. So you just, it's just content you look at. It's not customized content. It's just content. And just think about it like that early on when you would just go to a specific website, you just look at something. And then from 2004 onward, and still continues, we have the Web 2. And then Web 3, unlike what a lot of people talk about, they think Metaverse is Web 3, and that therefore it just came about like last year. So Web 3 was, I believe it's actually, I guess it was like coined, the term Web3 was actually coined in 2014 and by Gavin Woods, co-founder of Ethereum. So it's kind of old. It's not actually that new. It's 2014, obviously, right? But because last year in 2021, we had Mark Zuckerberg who created a video about Metaverse and just talking about, you know, his vision of the Metaverse, what it looks like. And given that his Meta, or formerly known as Facebook and Instagram, that has 3 billion distribution, then a lot of people are just getting to know what Metaverse is. Right? So now people are getting married in the Metaverse, they go to parties in the Metaverse, you know, all sorts of things. Now, also in November 2021, I want to say November, December at that time, the search inquiries for NFTs surpassed actually cryptocurrency. So cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin has been around since 2009 for people to have a reference. And so all of a sudden NFTs sales just was so much and the search inquiries was so much. Like people started to know more about it. I mean, to this day, there's still not many people know what NFTs are or even cryptocurrencies. Maybe like 5% of people know even what cryptocurrencies is. But so it just started to become more popular. So the Web3 is essentially having specific, properties that's different to Web 2 and Web 1. So Web 1, if it was just read only, Web 2 is when we had content online that was customized to the user. And then there was a lot of problems with privacy, for example. So let's say Facebook or let's say Meta had a lot of data from us, right? So you're just talking on your phone, talking about like the travels that you want to do now. In Mexico, all of a sudden you see all sorts of ads pop up, right? Right now, like I see a lot of ads for like real estate in Dubai, for example. I'm in Dubai just looking for a place and it's just like all ads show up without me even searching for it. And because just I've just had conversations, right? So obviously there's problem with privacy. Web3, on the other hand, the identity is conserved. So you could be anyone, right? So like one prime example of that, you can see like on Twitter, you have your profile pictures. You just, it's a profile picture of, it could be an animal, some sort of NFT art. And theoretically, in this like universe of Web3, your identity is not something that everyone has access to, right? So, but then we're not fully integrated into Web3 space. So technically there's still a lot of work to be done. But so that's one of the properties. Another property for Web3 is the concept of like decentralization. So when in Web2, we had companies like big tech companies, like let's say Facebook, Instagram, like all sorts of, you know, social media platforms like YouTube, Google, blah, blah, blah. When they had access to things and they would control things in the Web3 space, you control yourself and the control is distributed between people versus like a one centralized entity. Now, in for Facebook, it doesn't make a huge difference for us right now. But for example, for banking, that's a big difference. I give you like one example of like decentralized world. So the other day I wanted to withdraw some cash. So I usually live in Canada. I'm in Dubai right now. I wanted to withdraw cash. That's more than the amount that you can withdraw from a ATM in Dubai. And so I went to the ATM and I thought, okay, I'm just going to grab this much cash and then give it to the person I want to give it to. So first of all, the ATM had a limit. So I couldn't do it from one ATM. I had to go to a bunch of ATMs to be able to withdraw. Second thing happened, because I didn't tell my bank that I'm traveling, my card was locked. And so I had to call the bank, wait for a few hours on the line and talk to customer service, answer many, many questions, verify my identity, so on and so forth, until they'd be like, okay, so now it's unlocked. Now you can go back to your ATM. And not just one, many of them. And even then, there may be even a limit to how much you can do total. So maybe you have to distribute it amongst like few days as well. So you can see how inconvenient that is. So instead, what I did was I just went to a crypto exchange place in Dubai. I literally sent them the exact dollar, well, the exact Ethereum amount that I wanted to do, that would be converted to whatever, I guess, AED amount. So that's the United Emirates currency, the AED equivalent. And then it literally took 5 minutes for me to send that transaction to make that transaction. And then they just gave me cash. Literally, like, the whole thing was 5 minutes. No question asked. No one said, like, why do you need this money? Where is this going? Where did it come from? And I just got on with the rest of my day, right? So that's just like a prime example, like in real life, what that means for us to just be in a decentralized world.
Exactly. And I think that is one of the main even uses of something like, for example, Bitcoin, right? Because cross-border payments is something that it facilitates, and people have sent millions of dollars with just pennies, right? So I can just see the real world example by the example that you just shared.
Exactly.
How this Web3 space is facilitating these payments, and it's good to see a live example.
The problem is, like, we're still not fully Web3 yet. So even a Web3, like, let's say, like, any Web3, for example, app that you have, right? They still have a website, and that website is hosted on, let's say, Amazon servers, which is a Web2 company. So it's always like Web3 on top of Web2. So far, we still haven't gotten to like Web3, just fully Web3. So technically, there's still nothing Web3. There's nothing decentralized yet, because at the end of the day, the thing is sitting on top of something centralized. And then the moment, let's say, I don't know, Amazon decides like company, that protocol shouldn't be online, they can just pull the plug. And then that whole Web3 decentralized thing is just gone. Poof. Right?
Yeah, that is true. I think we are moving in that direction.
For sure.
Still not yet there. I think IPFS is one of the protocols that I know personally, that which is like a decentralized protocol and helps you host your website online. But we'll get to that later. Let's talk more about your expertise. Let's talk about NFT marketing. So you had mentioned that there is some stigma around paid ads, for example, right? When you started in this space, what is that stigma and what is it related to? And how did you kind of overcome this stigma?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't overcome it yet, but it's interesting because, so my specialty obviously is Web2 was paid ads. Running lots of paid ads on YouTube, on Google, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all sorts of platforms. And then now, for me to just come into the Web3 space and just be like, hey, I'm just going to completely ignore like what I've done in Web2, it just felt like it's just a waste of like resources, right? So I came in and I just thought, okay, at least I'm going to try it out, right? But I tell you like what objections people have, why there's a stigma around it. So if a project is actually doing paid ads, that must be like a project that's desperate to sell. But the equivalent of that is, what if a project is really good, the art is really great, the utility is great, but then no one knows about that project? So how on earth are they going to sell out, right? If they can't have any eyeballs on that project. So what paid ads does, that actually solves that problem, right? Now, could there be scams in the NFT world and even associated with people who are running paid ads? Yeah. Yeah, but then there could be scams in, first of all, any industries, and even in the NFT, whether they do paid ads or they don't do paid ads. So that's one of the big, I guess, the stigma around it. People say, okay, the gut feeling is that they must be desperate. That's why they're doing these paid ads. But then the second thing people talk about, they say, so this is a paid, I guess, feature versus something that's not paid. If it's something is not paid, it's more genuine, right? So this is a very misinformed concept, because what people don't realize is literally the thing that has the most integrity in this space is actually a paid ad, because under it, it reads promoted. And you know, if you Google what a promoted tweet is, for example, on Twitter, then it reads it's a post. It can be done by the general masses. They can promote it, meaning they pay Twitter to show it to more people. That's simply as that, right? But then let's say people who are on different projects Discord, they get paid to have a chatter. So let's say, you know, there's like no sessions happening on the Discord, and then people get paid to actually talk on Discord. No one knows that that's happening. So that doesn't have integrity, because you may go to that Discord and thinking people are really excited to talk about things, but when in fact, behind the scene, they got paid to talk about it, right? Another example of that is like when an influencer, let's say influencer talks about a specific project online, sometimes they don't talk about, say, hey, I got paid to talk about this project, but they do. They get paid, whether it's in the form of NFTs or I guess cryptos, whatever that is, then, and most of the times they don't disclose it because they're afraid that their audience will not like it. So what happens is you think that that's not paid from the good of their heart. They're talking about something, right? And it's very naive to think that people just from good of their heart just to spend it all day talking about a specific project, right? But again, people coming into this NFT space, you don't have business experience. So they're on the impression that whatever they see is true. So their perception, just whatever on the surface they see is true. And so we have Twitter spaces, for example, in the Web3 space. Now, people get paid to host the Twitter space. People get paid to participate. People get paid to even sit on Twitter spaces. And so if I just like start naming all the things that people actually get paid for to do in this Web3 space, it will give a completely different perception of what's actually happening in this Web3 space, right? And I happen to see it because I worked with 400 plus NFT projects. I've seen everything in this industry, right? So like all the influencers, when they talk to me, I know people, they you know, a lot of people, that's why a lot of companies know me. So I see in the behind the scenes, like what's actually happening. And so for people to think, hey, like a paid ad is something that you paid for, therefore, it's not genuine. It's very misinformed. So that's another reason. One other thing people talk about is like, okay, you spend a lot of money on ads, but what if it's not profitable? So I give you an example. There was a project beginning of this year. They started the minting process, and out of, I believe, 3,000 supplies, they minted 700. And then people just told, hey, like you guys gonna basically pack your bag and just leave this space because you guys failed. And then they almost did for 5 months. They didn't do anything. And then they came to me and I told them, hey, what do you have to lose? Just run some paid ads and see what happens. So I started running paid ads. In the first month, they doubled their sales. And for each NFT, they were paying $30. So they were paying $30 for someone new to buy their NFT. Now, that project is now revived. So they're almost about to sell out. And so that's the power, how it can be like so profitable. And not only that, it can actually save projects from being in a really bad state. And projects not always in a bad state because they're not good projects. There are a lot of projects that world-class artists, I mean, I'll give you an example. Picasso, for example, he launched a project. It didn't sell out. I mean, he didn't himself, but his family did. Let's say Kevin Hart. He had a project, didn't sell out. Doesn't mean Kevin Hart sucks. Like, it's not that. It's just because the way they've done it, right? So a lot of people. But actually, there's an opportunity for projects to revive their project with paid ads. So those are some of the big, I guess, things that people think about when it comes to paid ads.
That's just great knowing about these insights. And now I can finally understand, because I think this is something that we have always seen in the past. We just don't realize it yet, right? We always see a paid ad when we see, and oh, hey, they're not selling out. They're just trying to push it to more people out there. And, oh, this is a scam. And, you know, that's why they're doing paid ads. So it's good to understand and see the other side of things, right? As you mentioned, there is a reason why people are doing paid ads. And also people are doing other things which they do not always see that they are getting paid for, like the celebrity thing. You never see a celebrity come on TV and endorse something, and you never think that, oh, they have got paid for it, right? You always think, oh, they must be using it, right, themselves. So
yeah,
it's good to see this other side of things.
Yeah, and it's hilarious. Like some of these ads that I run, so there's a lot of comments, right? There's a lot of lots of different things. Exactly. But like people say things like you're just wasting money on ad spend. I'm like, okay. So you clearly don't understand that you can just go to the smart contract and see if there are sales, right? And if there are sales, then we're not wasting money. And I mean, it's either we're just stupid that we keep running ads and spending money over and over again, or we're actually making sales. And for people who are like doubtful about that idea, they can go to a smart contract of projects that's running the ads. Blockchain doesn't lie. They can see, are there sales or no? And if there are sales, then that's it. Like it's profitable. That's why they're running.
Exactly. Exactly. Arvind, let's dive deeper behind the scenes of NFT cool. marketing, because literally you have been known as the father of NFT marketing, to be honest. And people have been talking about this so far. So what better way to know about this than yourself? Let's start with what channels that people generally prefer when it comes to NFT marketing. You already mentioned Twitter is one, but there are some channels like Google ads or Facebook ads, which kind of restrict those kind of ads, for example, right? So how do you get around these challenges, and what are the challenges that you personally use for marketing any NFT project?
100%. So that's actually a good point, because even though this project that I was talking about specifically, and so as several other projects, when they just run paid ads, they're still able to sell out their project. I never told people, say, hey, just do paid ads and nothing else. You should do everything. You should do everything to make sure you sell out, right? So I'm going to list everything that we do to be able to sell out a project. So there's paid ads on Twitter, on Quora, Reddit, Google, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. So all those platforms. And then, so that's as far as just paid ads, okay? But that's not it. There's more. So we go on Twitter Spaces. I want people to get at least 100 hours on Twitter Spaces. So that's like the street cred of being actually established in this space of Web3, right? At least 100 hours. So like when you have it, like we should even like give people like certificate, be like, you've done your 100 hours, right? That project is like now qualified. So second thing was Twitter Spaces. Being on exchanges. So we have, like, for example, one of the projects I'm recently working with, we're going to get them on xd.com. We're going to get them on crypto.com, Bitmart, all these exchanges that are out there, right? Then you have DAOs and launchpads. For example, there are DAOs out there where they just buy into your project. You just have to present your project to them. And if they like it, they all just go ape it. They just buy it, right? And there are launch pads where there are, I guess, companies out there, they already have an audience. They put you in front of their audience. There are NFT calendars where you can be listed on their website, on their email list, on their news channels, on their socials. You can do Twitter Spaces with them. So these are some of the ways, like main ways you can get essentially traffic. But then there are other things too. So for example, you can do collaborations. You can find a project that's already sold out and then just provide something to their audience and do something with them. It could be even a Web2 project that you just do a collab with them, right? Oh, by the way, as far as paid ads, we also do LinkedIn ads as well. I forgot to say that. But these are some of the marketing channels that we use. So you also asked about challenges. So challenges with NFT. Okay. So back in November 2021, Facebook, well, in October, they announced, Mark Zuckerberg announced this concept of metaverse. And then they didn't really have a way for people to run ads. So it would get restricted. If you were to create ads, it would get halted. So there was no way of running ads. But then I think eventually they realized, they were like, okay, if we want to have this platform that's all about like metaverse, there's going to be NFTs in it. So we may as well just let people run NFT ads so we can basically make our own metaverse bigger. So then we had Facebook and Instagram open up their gates to running NFT as back in November. And then we would target interests like Ethereum blockchain, digital currency, things like that. I believe it was like by the end of November, they closed it down again. So they said, all those interests are gone. You can no longer actually run ads to those. Then we have some other things, like, for example, different interests or, right? But it still was okay. Like you can run ads on those platforms.
I think primarily what people generally use is Twitter, right? So what would you say are the best practices for Twitter page ads, or what is the way to go about Twitter ads for your NFT project?
Twitter always had its own way of actually letting people run ads. So the way it works, and this is a massive confusion for a lot of people. So they go run ads and the account gets disabled. This is true for YouTube as well. And then they're wondering if, I guess, YouTube or Twitter just don't like them, or there's something wrong with the way they do things. And it's not that. The point is, they have to go through like an agency or someone who has an agency partnership with Twitter to be able to get this thing called an NFT certificate. Once you have that, then you can run NFT ads. So unless you have it, you cannot run NFT ads. So that's very important, obviously. And that's another reason why people have a stigma around it, because they can't run ads. They don't know even like what running ads is like. And then they have opinions about running ads, which is coming from like not running ads, right? So it doesn't make sense. And so I, for example, have an agency in partnership with Twitter. I can get a NFT certificate for a brand so they can run NFT ads. Of course, it has specific requirements for it to be compliant. I can obviously tell them what those are. But that's how they go on about doing that. It's the same with YouTube as well. They need to have the specific, checkboxes met. And then they need to check as far as requirements, and then they can run NFT ads. Now, even then, if they become non-compliant again, they lose their certificate. They have to apply again. Now, that's for NFTs. For crypto, it's different. They still need a certificate as well, but that's even harder. Like they need to get it from a financial service in different, I guess, countries and financial services out there. So that's usually what it's like. Facebook and Instagram doesn't have something like that. I guess Meta doesn't have something like that. But when they start their Instagram, what do they call it, marketplace for NFTs, which is going to come out in a month or so, and there may be some new rules, some new regulations.
Got it. So if anybody in our audience wants to reach out to Arvin, and because he has a registered agency and can help you with this NFT certificates, I'll put the links to Arvin's agency in the description and contact details in the description and show notes below. So you can just reach out to Arvin directly and he can definitely help you out with your NFT marketing as well. Arvin, we have been seeing this bull market in the year of 2020 and some part of 2021. Now we are in a bear market in 2022. So how different is it what people have been doing in 2020-21 in the bull market versus what you have been doing now? So how is NFT marketing changed?
Yeah, so let's say in November, December last year, all we had to do was just build huge Discord communities. It didn't matter your art was good. It didn't matter your utilities were good. Nothing mattered. Honestly, your team, even if you were a docs, people didn't know who you are. You were just like a bunch of animals, pictures. That was fine. But around January time, things start changing. And then now we're to the point where there are obviously a lower number of active wallets out there. And just so for people who have a reference, so back in January, we had about 1.5 million active wallets. And then the latest result that they had, I believe in June 2022, it was somewhere around 500K. So it's almost a third of active wallets that are in the market. Now, as far as marketplaces, obviously OpenSea and Magic Eden that are the highest. Their sales have hit some of the lowest in their month to month as well. So initially, when people see that and I guess talk about it, immediately they think, okay, well, then we need to wait until the bear market is over and then we can launch our projects. And then also, I guess another properties of this time is that some projects do everything right and they still don't sell out. So then they had this impression that like, okay, what if we waited out? But then they waited out for like a month. Now it's been like a few months, you know, since May, let's say the Luna crash. So it could go for 12 months. It could go for 15 months. And for a project, and this is very important, this could cost people a lot of money. For a project that they have done their artwork, if they wait 15 months, things may be completely different in 15 months. You may need to throw away everything you've done, right? So it's a really poor idea to just wait it out, to just see what happens in like next year and just be like, hey, that's when I'm going to do it. So time in the Web3 space is very important thing to pay attention to, because like I have this running joke with my friends where like if I take a day off, I'll be like 8 years behind, right? Because it's just things happen so fast. So that's the concept. It's like what that's like. So the sentiment of the market, people are a little bit afraid, but now we just recently had an uptick in sales. We also like this whole thing, we've had projects that were selling out. So it was just not as often, not as, I guess, frequent as it was before. So for example, we just had recently a Web2 company that came out, like Tiffany & Co, and their mint price was 30 ETH, which is almost like $50,000. And in, you know, I think it was like 15 minutes, something like that, they just sold out, right? So to think that there's no money in this market, people are very mistaken thinking that. There's a lot of money. There are a lot of people have a lot of money in their wallets, even though obviously all of us in crypto, we've lost money. Like I would say most of my friends and myself, we at least like this year, probably at least lost maybe somewhere around 300K in just our wallets, just our crypto portfolio. But we also gained a lot, so we're still positive. But I'm just saying, like, we lost also a lot of money, right? So obviously that makes people a little bit afraid, right? So that's maybe that was someone's marketing budget that they don't have anymore. So the concept of having enough money is something that's new, right? So in the past, like back in last year, projects would come out and say, hey, this is our ideas, pay us by going through our minting process, and then we would deliver on our promises. Now, that has changed because people can't really trust every single project. They've been robbed once or twice, and they don't know if the project is going to deliver. So projects that are doing well, they are projects that they have VCs that are paying for some of their promises. It could be them putting money out of their pocket and actually delivering on some promises upfront, and then ask people for maybe more money. And then also, people are a lot more careful on what they invest money on. So if a project, let's say last year, it was just an image of some animal, PFP, profile picture type of NFT, people would say, okay, let's just invest in it. And then it goes to the moon and, you know, we make a bunch of money. This year, people are very focused on, okay, what's the business plan? What's the, you know, what are some ways that you're going to generate revenue? Not only like right now, but in the next 3 years, next 5 years. After 5 years, are you still going to hang around, right? So there's one project I'm working with specifically. We have money from VC for the next 10 years. So even if we make zero sales, we're going to be surviving and just delivering, not only just surviving on ourselves, but like delivering on our promises for the next 10 years. And so a project like that, where they can already pay for their stuff and also deliver on everything they have, and they have a lot of funding, they're going to have a lot more chance actually not only surviving, but also being very successful. And so there is obviously a huge uptick of VCs and family offices now wanting to get into projects. They can invest. Now, price of ETH was a lot lower. I want to say about a month ago, it almost was like 800. Now it's back into 1800. So at that time, a lot of people started actually buying a lot of NFTs too. So that was another interesting thing. So people thought about how NFTs were discounted. So they started buying a lot of NFTs. So that's to say, the summary is things have changed. Marketing has changed. It's more utility driven right now. And just having a Discord that's large enough is not enough. To sell out a project, you need to do everything. So the story of your project, the narrative of your project, the website, how you present your, like every single details of your project, that has to be perfect. And projects that have the patience to actually spend time, build something good, build a strong offer, then they're going to be successful. And obviously, if they have money as well, they're going to be successful. Projects that they just came in, they're like, hey, we just want to do a little bit of work and just see if this is going to work out or not. They're going to be wiped out. They have zero chance.
Got it. Arvind, you have successfully launched so many projects. What has been your most favorite project so far? And tell us the story behind it, how you sold it so fast, and literally you've become a legend in the NFT marketing space because of that. So can you take us through the process of how you set up those campaigns for those projects?
Yeah, sure. So there are projects that I've done that they've done really well. So there's one that hit number one trending on OpenSea, number one trending on IC Tools. Now, so there was a few reasons why this project did really well and why I got excited about that project. So at the time, the concept of what was trending was woman projects. A lot of woman projects were just coming out. Not all of them were successful, but a lot of them were successful at that time. And so timing is a very important thing in the NFT. Same thing for, let's say Bored Apes. So they came at the right time. The idea, the narrative, everything was just like timed really well. And so that's obviously one thing that's very important. And then the launch date for some of these projects that I did, they did really well. They were on an earlier date. So they were, for example, of 2021. And so it was a lot easier, to be honest. We would get influencers and they would talk about the project, do maybe YouTube videos, review of the project. We would run ads and we were successful. And recent projects that I sold out, a lot more work went into it. And we, you know, as far as the amount of work we put into it, and there is certainly an ROI for it, but there's definitely a lot of resources that we had to pull, which sometimes we didn't even know if, you know, like how much we need to go, but we just went all in on everything we had. Certain projects I really like because they came in with a really original ideas and I could see it like from the start. I could see, okay, this project has a really cool idea. The team is cool. Like I like working with people that they're passionate about just not just, you know, just to sell out, but also like after that too. There was like one project I helped sold out. And then this guy, like literally after he sold out, the day after, he said he's not interested talking to his community anymore. And then they would go into like another project, right? So a lot of times people would do that. But now that's also not a thing anymore. So if I were to say like what's favorite about some of the projects I've worked with, I would say certainly the team, if they were really cool, they had some original ideas. And then also if there was something that was trending at the time, because it would just make it exciting. People would talk about it. I think those are some of the reasons why we just get very attracted to projects. But I think above all, really, if I were to pick one thing, it's usually for me just who is actually doing that and like the team. So if I like really like the team, it's just going to be fun regardless. And then, so if it sold out, great. If it didn't, that's also fine. We just did something like really cool together. But yeah, I think that's the biggest thing.
Got it. Arvind, my last question to you is for somebody who's just starting to invest in this space, right? For people who are new to the NFT space, right? So what are the things that they should look for when they are evaluating NFT projects? And what are your recommendations around evaluating good projects which they can invest in?
Yeah, so for someone coming in new, obviously they have to look at the roadmaps, the promises this project is making. I would sit on Twitter spaces of that project and just get to know the team members. Because at the end of the day, like really at the end of the day, every project can have promises, but they can change their promises. Every project can say a lot of things, but they may or may not deliver on them. But if you really like the people who are actually doing it and they have some sort of success in what they've done in the past, the track history of something successful in their life, it could, hopefully it's in business. If it's not, even just something successful that they've done, then you can really count on those people do it again, right? They are problem solvers. They figure out something and then they are able to deliver to their community. I think that's the biggest thing I look at. I really invest on people versus the project itself. Now, obviously, if the narrative of the project is good too, so that's important. So I give an example. I mentioned narrative a bunch of times so people can get an idea what I'm talking about. So Goblin Town, for example, one NFT project. At the time where 500 NFT projects were entering the market, they came out and, you know, everyone was grinding Discord servers to be able to get a whitelist. And it was kind of annoying. It was almost like a full-time job just being on Discord. They came out and said, hey, we have a project. Oh, and then also there were a lot of projects that they weren't delivering on their roadmaps. So Goblin Town came out and said, hey, we're going to have no roadmaps. We're going to have nothing about Discord, like no more Discord. And this is the art. There's nothing else. If you want to buy it, buy it. If you don't, that's okay. Like literally that was the narrative. And at the time, that really made sense. So people were like, they understand us. We're tired of that boring thing that we've been doing all the time, right? And they said, it's also free mint. So you don't even have to pay for this. And then so people just got really excited, right? So that's why that project became successful. Now, as far as a story, when I talk about like a project needs to have a story and a good story, that's something that people want to tell. I tell you the story of Bored Apes, for example. So Nicole, the CEO of the yoga labs with Bored Apes, she told this story on the news channel at some point. And it goes like, so the two co-founders of the project, they were writers. They weren't like digital artists. So they thought about, okay, if we wanted to have a digital art, but we're not really digital artists, what if we just created a collective art where people would just draw the art themselves? But then they thought, if they do that, everyone's going to draw penises. And then they thought, okay, where would people draw penises? And that would be like a bathroom stall. And then it would be a bathroom stall in a dive bar. And then, oh, maybe it could be a yacht, or maybe it could be a yacht club in a swamp and just bunch of rich bored apes just sitting around, just being bored and just enjoying their time in a yacht club. And so that's how they painted the scene for people to be like, hey, this is about, right? And if you go to their website, the first thing you see is really that bar. So in that yacht club, right? So you can actually see it, you can understand it. Sometimes people are very oblivious to things like this. They think these are just random things that happen and has nothing to do with the success of projects. But these are very, very important things. Projects, they can actually do this branding very clearly. They are a lot more successful. So those are some of the things I will look for. So the narrative, the story, the team. I will sit on Twitter Spaces and just see what they're doing. If they have money, if they don't have money, it's kind of hard. Unless they're innovative, it's really hard to be able to deliver.
Got it. On that note, Arvind, thank you so much for sharing these insights with us and our audience. I think we have all learned a lot about NFT marketing and the evolution and the history of NFT marketing from you, and all these stigmas and all these stories as well, and how NFTs have evolved. So it has been a wonderful experience talking with you, and I'm sure our audience has learned a lot from you. So thank you so much. And I would urge my audience as well to connect with Arvind online. He does a lot of Twitter spaces. I generally go to some of them and they are always very interesting. So you can learn a lot from that as well. I'll put links to Arvind's social handles in the description or the show notes below. And thank you, Arvind, for taking time out, and hope you have a wonderful day ahead.
Thank you so much for having me.